Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the government shutdown drags on, the Trump administration announces that food assistance for some 40 million Americans will be cut off as of this weekend. President right now is in Tokyo. He has met with the emperor and will meet with the country's first woman prime minister later tonight. Hurricane Melissa has already killed three people in Haiti and is now headed for eastern Cuba and for Jamaica as a Category 5 storm. ABC's Ike Ajachi is in Kingston, Jamaica.
Now, right now, it is a little light. The rain is coming down intermittently. The wind is a little light, starting to pick up. That's expected to get really, really intense. This storm has forced airport shutdowns island-wide, sending residents here in a scramble for supplies in what could be the strongest storm to hit Jamaica ever.
Russia has tested a new nuclear-powered cruise missile capable of reaching nearly 9,000 miles. That as the Ukraine war drags on and as the Kremlin warns the U.S. against sanctioning strikes deep inside Russia. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to attend one of the various educational events this week honoring International Bat Week. According to a press release, four of the eight species of bat found in Wisconsin are considered threatened, but officials say conservation efforts over the past decade have helped the state's native bat populations begin to rebound. Event locations and tips for helping the bat population from home, like building your own bat house or using native plants in your yard, are available on the DNR website. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers have introduced legislation aimed at expanding access to information on menopause. The bill would require the Wisconsin Department of Health Services to create an online resource page and pamphlet about menopause. According to a National Institutes of Health study, over 75% of women across the country believe menopause education should be taught in schools, similarly to education on puberty. Actress Halle Berry also spoke in support of the bill as part of a nationwide tour to promote menopause education. The Rice Lake Area School District is inviting residents to participate in their local Empty Bowls event this week. The eighth iteration of the annual event will be held on Thursday at the Rice Lake High School cafeteria from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. The funding raised at the event will go towards the district's Feed Our Kids backpack program, which provides students with non-perishable and easy-to-make foods to take home over the weekend to combat hunger and guarantee kids are having their nutritional needs met when they don't have access to school meals. Healthy Washco is inviting area residents to participate in an upcoming training program for mental health first aid. The organization will offer the program in partnership with the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Division of Extension Health and Well-Being Institute. The program seeks to teach residents how to identify when somebody is experiencing a mental health or substance abuse crisis and how to best support them. A youth mental health first aid course will be held on November 7th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Washburn County Services Building in Shell Lake. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers sink the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers rallied in the second half to win 35-25. Matt LaFleur on what he saw from his team despite a slow start.
The greatest thing I saw from our guys was I didn't see any panic. They stayed together, and we cleaned up some things that we didn't do in the first half.
Tight end Tucker Kraft scored his second touchdown of the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we saw some things in the first half where, you know, we were just one block away from this. We looked ourselves in the mirror and we said that wasn't good enough. We came back out in the second half and we executed.
Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers was asked about hearing the Go Pack Go chants during the game.
I've heard that chant for 18 years, so Packer fans travel really well. First time in a while I've used silent count for a home game. That's a credit to those Packer fans.
At Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers with sports on Mike Clemens.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered rain, especially after midnight, our low in the low 40s. Tomorrow, rain likely with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dustin Mack from Appleton's History Museum at the Castle. We talk Wisconsin Dells ghost boat tours, and musician Strategic joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back up north on a Monday morning, last week of October, October 27th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things in Madison Studio A2. Selena Heller standing by in Eau Claire. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is AWOL, says that she cheered too much in Pittsburgh and has no voice left. Apparently a voice is a feature that's required for radio. So we'll tell her to rest up, and we'll hopefully visit with her again coming up on Friday morning. Selena still has a voice. Parker still has a voice. I'm sure they were both yelling and cheering with their TV during the second half of the game yesterday. You know, the one where the guy who gets up super early decided not to watch the second half. Because I was so demoralized by our kicker missing two field goals. I thought the stage was set for a not fun second half. So I'll be the first to admit I gave up too early.
Wow.
But Parker, you understand where I'm coming from, though.
I do. I fully understand where you're coming from. I just wonder, how did you feel when you woke up? Like, I'd be really upset if I missed that.
Well rested. Well, and B, again, this is not a case where, in olden days, I would have put on my slippers and shuffled out to the door and grabbed the morning newspaper, and uncurled it and cursed the paper boy because it's a little bit wet from the hitting the dew on the grass. And then realizing the paper was printed too early and didn't even have the results of last night's game. So I hope the guy on the radio stayed up to watch it, to tell me about it. We're not in that age anymore. I can get up at 4. I can take a look at my phone. I can see all the highlights. You know, the first thing I notice is, oh, well, that would have been fun to watch live. But guess what? I have the clips right here. Watch the clips. It was fun. I still get to talk about it and sound bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Perfect. That works too.
At least as close as I get to it. So for the few of you out there that are going, Pat, get to the point, because I too went to bed early. The Packers beat the Steelers 35-25. Jordan Love went 29 of 35, including a franchise record tying 20 straight completed passes at one point. The guy I think is the key to all of this, tight end Tucker Kraft, caught 7 passes for a career high 143 yards, 2 touchdowns. Christian Watson is back, 4 catches for 85 yards. Josh Jacobs, a 3-yard scoring sprint in the first play of the fourth quarter, put the Packers up for good. And so the Packers are 5-1-1. And the funny thing is, everybody looks at that tie like, oh, ick, you know, we got a tie. It might as well be a loss. That tie is keeping us ahead of a lot of other teams right now.
It is.
So I will. Yeah. I'll take that. So
and Aaron Rodgers needed to beat the Packers to beat every team in the NFL, and he did not. So he still has not.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Still has not. Robin Tigerton says the Steelers jerseys looked like highway warning signs.
The arrows, yes.
He says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear skies, light fog, 31 degrees. I had to ride yesterday or Saturday in the Clintonville area, took pictures of the remaining fall colors, mostly along Main Street in Clintonville, and he's got some leaves to mow up today. Speaking of temperatures, by the way, let's get those 7 o'clock temperatures. It's 39 here in Chippewa Falls, 39 in La Crosse. Rapids is at 37. There's some real differences in short distances on the map here. Fond du Lac is at 32, but Oshkosh is 45. Eagle River is 27, but over in Manitowish waters, it's 37 right now. Hayward's at 41 degrees as well. So in talking about the fall colors, I'm going to risk sounding like an old man complaining. Okay. And I don't mean that. I just mean we were noticing yesterday, we didn't really get, it wasn't our best fall color year here around here. Now, I don't know where the peak is right now, and maybe they are spectacular. I've seen a few nice areas with a lot of rust mixed in with the yellow, but we did a lot of green to yellow to brown really quick around here. Selena, did you notice that in Eau Claire as well?
No, right across the street. Every time we pull from the driveway, we have these bright red trees just right across the street. And those are so pretty. And at school, when we pull up to school, it's this yellow, really bright, really pretty tree. So we still see the, they're beautiful, actually, right across the street right now. Maybe if you want to swing over, you can check these out.
maybe I'll have to do that. Let's see. Alicia says, my maple trees are always the last to shed their leaves. Always cutting the leaf pickup close. Oh yeah, because some places have the leaf pickup. Parker, I don't know what you have here. Do the buildings change color in the fall? Do you guys get trees? Do you get to see some things down there?
Yeah, they change the colors of the lights shining on the Overture Center. Yeah.
Okay. you've got two lovely lakes around there, and yes. it too can be a very beautiful place to spend some time. But you know, the fall colors just felt a little muted up here this time around.
Yeah.
Not bad. Again, not bad. Just, you know, I'm looking at the leaves or looking at the trees going, you didn't quite live up to your full potential.
It just felt fast. You know, yeah.
Maybe it went fast. Yes, maybe so. All right. Sometimes
it goes so fast because then like they turn and then there's a big wind and then they're gone.
And then they just go whoomp. Okay. Well, missed that show. All right. So Selena's got a story that you can follow over on the Up North News social media sites. Her stories are on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. And one of your stories recently is about the looming cuts that are out there to families in several different ways. We've talked about the $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts that are coming. Certainly nutrition assistance programs, SNAP funding is going to be running out here in the next, couple of weeks, it sounds like, potentially here in Wisconsin. And then, of course, the issue that's at the heart of all of this is the way that health insurance premiums are going to skyrocket for families because of enhanced tax credits that are expiring. And again, they are expiring. They were planned to expire, but there's a plan out there that would say, let's extend these, the same way that Republicans got to extend the corporate tax cuts under Donald Trump. So they got a little something. Maybe families could get a little something like continuing these enhanced tax credits to keep health insurance from getting so expensive. And Selena, you talk to people for whom, when these health insurance costs and other things start to add up, I mean, this isn't some political game. It's really going to hurt them.
Yeah, it's real families, and it's the reality for so many people across Wisconsin when these subsidies run out at the end of the year. And so this is a retired artist. She's from La Crosse, Kate Bausch, and she got emotional because this is her reality. This is for her and her husband. Her husband is a retired teacher of 38 years. And so they planned their retirements on using these subsidies just for a short time, but that's what they were relying on. And
let's give a listen to Selena's story with Kate Bausch.
The uncertainty, I can't tell you. Unbearable it's been to not know if we're going to have healthcare next year or what it's going to cost.
In La Crosse, Kay Bausch and her husband are retired but 2 years shy of qualifying for Medicare, so using the Affordable Care Act marketplace for their health care is a must for them. It's not free.
We pay $476. I think some people think, like, if you're on the ACA that it's free, and it's not. I mean, we still pay, and we're happy to pay.
Their monthly premium is set to skyrocket, though, as Republicans in D.C. appear willing to let the tax credits that make ACA coverage more affordable expire. Kate says the uncertainty of what will happen with these subsidies is enough to put anyone on edge.
We started checking around because if the credits were going to expire, we needed to be covered, and we like to be prepared. So we were quoted upwards of $2,400 a month through a retirement for the state retirement workers. And we can't afford $2,400 a month. If these credits expire, I'm not sure what we will do.
Unless Republicans join Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and her Democratic colleagues in supporting an extension, the tax credits will expire at the end of the year. And that means out-of-pocket premiums for ACA Marketplace enrollees could go up 75%, according to the research group Kaiser Family Foundation.
This tax break, called the Enhanced Premium Tax Credit, saves more than 230,000 Wisconsinites an average of $500 every single month.
We both have to be on medicine. It's not just doctor visits and that kind of thing. I have asthma. My husband does too. Our inhalers are $500 a month. We're just not sure what we'll do.
Senator Baldwin says if tax credits for the wealthy and corporations can be included in the budget, there's certainly legroom for extending tax credits for conscientious families.
We're looking at, obviously, no Christmas presents that we'll be shopping for this year or next year, probably. We're hoping to take some trips just around the state. We live pretty simply. I'm really sorry. I didn't expect to cry, but it's real.
And I guess that's the point, Selena, we keep trying to make. This is real. This is what people were hoping would be extended, because, again, in the 10 plus years that the Affordable Care Act has been around, it has worked compared to the old system, but has always needed to be modified and improved upon. And by not having these premium tax credits renewed, you're taking a step backward to those old days. And you and I both covered so many stories about people who, you know, paid their premiums and the health insurance company just denied them. So, I mean, right now the story is about premiums going up, but what it also means is people either go without insurance or insurance companies are just saying, nope, we're not going to cover you anymore.
Right. And then, they don't get insurance, and then there's more problems, and then they don't have the healthcare they need. And I was just in, so I'll have this coming up too. I was with a farmer in Pierce County, and he said, you know, it'll be like, if I bleed, then I'll go to the doctor, but otherwise probably not if I don't have health insurance. So we were in his combine chatting at that time as he was combining soybeans. And as of course, you know, there's so many issues for farmers right now, so we're going to hear from him coming up another time too. So talking
not only about health insurance, but also about the soybeans that he's harvesting right there with you, and whether there's going to be a market for them or place to store them or anything like that.
Right. He said, you know, we're sitting here in my combine, we're combining this field, and I'm losing money. This is what I work for all year. Yeah. And I lost money. You know, it's a hard time.
And then on top of that, for any that were, you know, raising cattle as well and expecting, you know, something to go to the American beef market, you now have Argentine beef that's coming in. There's just something all throughout rural Wisconsin for people to look at and say, this is harder than we were expecting to be at this point. And like you said, you're talking to somebody they're combining two or three of these issues all into one. These are not easy times.
Right. And he said, you know, if we get a bailout, the bailout is just going to be, I just have to pay off my fertilizer, and it's for those companies. It doesn't do anything to help me. I'm so far behind. It really doesn't do anything.
No. It goes right to those companies where fertilizer costs have been jacked up again because of Trump's trade war with Canada. For all these stories that Selena Heller works on, check out our social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, search for Up North News WI and look for her stories there. Selena, thank you very much for the story. Happy Halloween week. We'll talk to you later.
All right. See you.
Okay. Again, look for Selena on social media there. And coming up later this week, another wrinkle in health insurance, and that's all the folks who have to choose new Medicare Advantage plans because there might have been changes along the way with their current plan. We will talk to Ingrid Cunninger, the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol Program Director, about that coming up Thursday. You're going to want to listen if you fit into that category of needing a new Medicare Advantage plan. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your Monday mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers. The consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Civic Media. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Back now at 7:22 on this Monday. Pat Kreitlow up here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison. And, of course, we've discussed already the Packers beating the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. And the Badger football team, they did not win their game over the weekend. But, hey, the scores are getting closer every time.
Yeah.
I mean, first it was, what, 37-0? Then it was 34-0, right? And this time to lose to the number 6 team in the country, Oregon, by 21-7.
Pretty good.
Moral victory.
Yeah.
Because it also meant that the Badgers would not go scoreless in 3 straight games, which would have been a problem. And somebody actually calculated all the time on that. Let's see. Did we see? What did it come down to?
Roger. Oh, yeah, here we go.
182 minutes and 47 seconds. Thank you, Roger, for tracking the Badger football team scoring drought. So
lovely. Lovely.
Packers are now 2-6 on the season, 0-5 in the Big Ten. Luke Fickell, though, loved getting the scoring drought out of the way. His quote was, Everything matters. That's what I say to the guys in there. Everything matters. The last two plays of the game, they matter. Scoring points, it matters. You're not going to win football games if you score 7 points, probably, but you've got to score 7 before you can score 10, and you've got to score 10 before you can score 14.
I can't
argue with that. I mean, I don't know what math classes they have down there in Madison, but I cannot argue with that. And he says, at some point in time, we've got to figure out how to string these things together and get better. Yes, yeah. You do.
Yeah. It's really disappointing because the Badgers really have had chances at beating Oregon 2 years in a row now.
But yeah, they just
cannot do it.
Can't quite seal the deal. So they will host Washington at Camp Randall this coming Saturday, but I don't believe that they have assigned a start time yet to that, which
we live
in that flex schedule era where, you know, your tickets used to get printed with times on there. Well, first off, they don't print tickets anymore. And the time's irrelevant. You'll go when we say that you go. So we'll watch for a kickoff time on the Badgers taking on Washington next Saturday. In the meantime, the group Opportunity Wisconsin is starting a new Don't Leave Wisconsinites Out in the Cold coat drive in support of local business, or in partnership with local businesses, saying that as families struggle with the rising costs from tariffs and Republican-backed cuts to energy assistance and healthcare and SNAP, organizers are collecting coats at various locations across the state. From Friday through Christmas, anyone who brings in a gently used coat to participating locations will receive a voucher that can be redeemed at some of the participating businesses. That includes in Eau Claire Outdoors on Barstow Street. In Kenosha, it would be Public Brewing Company. And in Mount Pleasant, La Taquiza Restaurant is taking part in it. And again, this is all through Opportunity Wisconsin. You can learn more at opportunitywisconsin.org. In our Sunday morning newsletter through Up North News, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, we have our regular question of the week. And I really had no idea how the question was going to go that we put up yesterday morning. And I have been somewhat surprised to see that we might end up with, I don't know that we've ever had a true 50-50 question yet, but we're really close in the responses so far. And it deals with whether there should be a new nuclear power plant built in the Kewaunee area. There had been one there that has since been decommissioned, but there's interest in bringing a nuclear power plant, a new one, back to Wisconsin, generating electricity using nuclear power, which does not generate fossil fuels directly, so does not contribute to harming the climate directly. And for plenty of people, that is a real positive. And for plenty of other people who see the potential for things to go sideways with nuclear power because of accidents of one type or another, this is just a no-go. It's a non-starter for them. So the way we asked it is, you know, do you think that if done under strict safeguards, you would support a new nuclear power plant in Wisconsin? Or no safeguard is worth the risk of another Three Mile Island or Fukushima or Chernobyl, not to mention another new batch of nuclear waste. And like I said, there's been quite a mix of answers here. I really don't think it breaks down by party. In this case, it really does come down to personal preferences and feelings about nuclear power. Mary here, for example, says, yes, we hopefully learn from each disaster what to do and how to safeguard future use. Another one says, from Rick, says no to this project. Safety issues aside, over the decades, nuclear has proven to be too expensive to build and too expensive to operate. And so there's one who says no. Another says yes, as long as there are appropriate safety measures in place. Another from Linda here says no nuclear plants, please. Solar and wind are safer and more reliable. To which others would say, well, yeah, you need solar and wind and nuclear. You need a whole range of energy options moving into the future. So again, the folks who get our Sunday morning newsletter get the first crack at the answers and sending in their responses. Let's see, from Tony up on Ashland and YouTube in Northwest Ohio, there is a nuclear plant. I do remember at least one time there was a crack somewhere that scared people. Lots of places have iodine tablets as a precaution too. Yeah, these are all things that people have to think about and decide whether to make nuclear energy as part of the mix. So again, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and sign up there for our newsletter, and you can respond to our question of the week. Of course, you can also put something like Tony just did in the comment section of YouTube or Facebook, or you can even email us the old-fashioned way, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or use the Civic Media app to text us or call into the show. We've got a guest coming up, Lucy Ripp from A Better Wisconsin Together, who's going to talk about candidates who are opposed to women's basic health care rights, already announcing to be on the ballot for 2026. And again, your feedback, if you'd like to add it by phone, by text, by comment, all coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, and this is the Civic Media.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke. It is possible by the end of the week, more than 40 million low-income households will face no food stamp assistance, no help with grocery bills at all. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. But Wisconsin farmers stepping in to help their local communities. That story's next.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story Contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
The National Farmers Union, along with the Wisconsin Farmers Union and Farmers Union Enterprises, trying to do what they can to prop up rural communities when it comes to food assistance programs and the lack of funding that may occur by the end of the week. Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, says that they delivered 35,000 pounds of pork to Feeding America in eastern Wisconsin.
Just felt that with the current situation and farmers especially in a bad spot, but also with the federal government and not knowing if there's going to be SNAP dollars available, wanted to make sure that communities around the upper Midwest had a little bit extra protein to consume and be available for those folks that can't afford to buy it. And it's one of those things that as farmers we want to make sure that people have high quality food.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, says the 35,000 pounds of pork here in Wisconsin, part of a bigger donation effort across five states. They donated a total of 175,000 pounds of pork to five different states.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
And in case you didn't know it, this week is Bat Appreciation Week, not just in Wisconsin, but it's an annual international celebration. Did you know that with over 1,450 species, bats make up about 20% of all mammal species, making them the second largest group of mammals on Earth? Want to learn more about bats? Go to the Wisconsin DNR website and search for bats. That's a quick update on food news on a Monday. I'm PM Yonke. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered rain, especially after midnight, our low in the low 40s. Tomorrow, rain likely with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book mm-hmm. instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend sports and news headlines. Also be joined by our friend and colleague, Jane Matner of Matner on Air. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
The Progressive Group, A Better Wisconsin Together, is all about research and stories from real people and empowerment. And their latest research includes the glaring omissions in the attendance record of one member of the Wisconsin State Assembly. We recently talked to Communications Director Lucy Ripp about that. First, we spent some time talking about the first wave of candidates for 2026. Now, whether it's public polling or election results, it is clear that most people in Wisconsin believe that women should have the right to make their own decisions about their bodies, and politicians should stop trying to put themselves into exam rooms alongside women and their doctors. And yet, there are plenty of conservatives who are already running with a clear record that is out of the mainstream of Wisconsin values on that subject, whether it's for state attorney general, state Supreme Court, or for governor. And we cover all three races when I talk to Lucy Ripp first about gubernatorial candidate and GOP Congressman Tom Tiffany.
Yeah, it very much seemed that he knows that the way he has voted on abortion in the past and endorsements he's gotten and things like that go directly against what the majority of Wisconsinites believe, which is that we want safe and legal abortion access across the state. We don't believe that politicians should be anywhere near that decision. And he has a really long record of going against that. And so it was very clear that he wanted to hide that.
Yeah. And so when he was kind of conveniently removed that information from a personal website, that got noticed by the media and by you mm-hmm. folks as well. Then there's the recent announcement here that Eric Toney is getting into the race for attorney general. He lost to Josh Call last time around, and he has announced another run. And it appears that his positions really haven't changed that much since the last time he ran.
No, it doesn't appear that they have. And the last time he ran, as we've said on our website, Wisconsinites overwhelmingly rejected him. I mean, he is another one of those Republicans who just has very extreme views on abortion that don't align with how Wisconsinites feel. I mean, in previous elections, he's gotten endorsements from some of the most radical anti-abortion groups in Wisconsin. He indicated last time around that he ran that he would try to impose an almost total abortion ban, and an abortion ban that also threatens doctors and nurses with criminal penalties for providing that care. And so he's so extreme about putting politicians like himself in charge of these decisions that he's also advocated for being able to exceed his authority as a local district attorney and cross county lines to impose his beliefs on people who didn't even elect him.
Interestingly, he also in his announcement focused on some of the usual boogeymen. There was, of course, undocumented immigrants. There was, problems in Milwaukee. It's always convenient to, blame Milwaukee there. And the thing that we've been watching here up north is that here he is, the named special prosecutor in the case of Wausau Mayor Doug Denny, removing an absentee ballot drop box, which seemed rather curious given that this is a guy, Eric Toney, who himself has said he believed absentee ballot drop boxes should be illegal, and he wanted the state Supreme Court to outlaw them. So I guess we already know where he stands on voting convenience if he's going to run for attorney general again.
Yeah, it's very clear he's not only trying to, you know, police what happens in our exam rooms, but he's also trying to take away ways of voting for the people of Wisconsin.
Yeah. You're also following the appeals court judge, Maria Lazar, who is hoping to run for state Supreme Court next year, would quite likely face fellow appeals court judge and former legislator, Chris Taylor. But Maria Lazar, again, as we've said, based on her past endorsements and some of her statements, it's also quite clear where she stands on women's reproductive health care rights.
She was caught saying on camera that she thinks the Supreme Court's decision that overturned Roe v. Wade was, quote, very wise. And she also indicated that when the Wisconsin Supreme Court earlier this year struck down an 1800s law that Republicans were trying to use as an abortion ban, she said she doesn't know that she would have agreed with them on that. So she's making it very clear early on that she is anti-abortion rights in Wisconsin.
You know, we've been talking a lot about whether Republicans in Madison or Washington, D.C. Want to show up for work, not whether they have shown up for work, whether they want to. And it's been tough enough for them just given the current conditions. But it seems to have been even more of a problem for one particular Wisconsin legislator. And you happen to notice at A Better Wisconsin Together, a lot of absences from State Representative Shannon Zimmerman from over in the River Falls, Western Wisconsin area. As you were looking at the record, what is it that you felt like his constituents need to know?
Yeah, so with Representative Shannon Zimmerman, as you said, he represents Assembly District 30, which includes areas like River Falls and Hudson and more. And we noticed that on a lot of the floor session days this year, he was just completely absent. He wasn't there. And so we counted it up and we noticed that he has been absent from nearly half of all of the assembly's floor sessions this year. I think that includes March 18th, March 20th, June 18th, September 11th. And so I think what the people in his district need to know is that they elected him to do a job, right? And that job is to represent them in our state legislature and make sure that their voices are heard on the issues that are going to impact their lives, on the issues that matter to them. And right now, it seems like he's not doing that.
Well, certainly not giving it his full attention. And let's be clear, because a lot of people, you know, don't know the employment status of legislators. They are paid a full-time salary, which is not, you know, Wisconsin's now in the minority of states that pay a full-time salary and expect that you are working throughout the course of the year as a state legislator. They may have other jobs, but it's pretty clear when you run for office that this is supposed to be a full-time gig, right?
Right. Yes. And, you know, probably, Pat, that sometimes you just can't be there 7 days a week. You miss a day or two here or there for a family emergency, childcare, sick day, whatever it may be. But I think what's concerning here is just the rate at which he isn't showing up.
Well, because he also has other, you know, alternatives. I mean, there has been discussion before about, you know, he's got a Florida vacation rental business that might be keeping him busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, even I believe this was back in 2017, he didn't even show up to vote on the state budget, which is one of the most important pieces of legislation that gets passed in Wisconsin. And when you look at why wasn't he there, it's because he was in an Amsterdam airport. So, you know, the biggest thing the legislature does, and he wasn't there to vote on it because he was in Europe.
And again, that is, like you said, that's something that can happen here and there. It happens to people. It's just that there have been so many of these that, you know, for somebody who for, you know, his first few years in office, it was questionable whether he even lived in the district or just outside of the district. It brings some extra attention to a district and constituents who want to know that, you know, he's there for them or that he isn't. And there were some pretty key votes that he missed on those dates in March and June and September that y'all looked up. What are some of the things that he missed votes on, some bills that really address the needs that face Wisconsinites.
Yeah, so notably on some of the days that he didn't bother to show up, he avoided voting on a lot of different bills. I think we tallied it up and it was around 85, but some of them that he avoided voting on by not showing up were bills that would have given wage increases to UW system employees. And he has at least one UW system school in his district. He avoided voting on a bill that would have helped build a mental health facility in the Chippewa Valley. And so he also left them without a voice on that one either.
So A Better Wisconsin Together is watching all of these things. You can check out their website and the whole team over there, including Lucy Ripp, following all kinds of issues and candidates. Lucy, we really appreciate the perspective you bring to this, and thanks for joining us for a few minutes today.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Pat.
Yeah, again, A Better Wisconsin Together, they do research by and large. That's where they got their start. Fair disclosure, I served for a brief time on the board of directors many years ago from A Better Wisconsin Together, when they engaged in, you know, all kinds of research about what certain bills would do, or in this case, who did or didn't vote on bills, or the things that they've said, sometimes the things they've said when, you know, they think nobody is listening. But they've also kind of expanded now into capturing the stories of folks around Wisconsin and the way that, you know, they're impacted by the things that politicians do, especially politicians who may not be acting in line with, you know, mainstream Wisconsin values. So over at abetterwisconsin.org, you can scroll down a bit and get to their storytellers and video archive. And you might even see some familiar faces, or you might hear some stories that you feel are worth sharing in your own social media feeds. Some of the posts that you may see over at the A Better Wisconsin Together website. It's just about 7:46 right now, and I wanted to read a post from somebody about some of these cuts that are happening to SNAP benefits and others. And this particular post was written by somebody named Stacy Patton, a journalist and writer, a college professor, teaches journalism at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and has been doing a lot more writing on social media lately, because she's been one of those folks who were targeted by the far right for the way that she reacted to the murder of conservative provocateur Charlie Kirk. And again, you don't have to like what people say about things, and you can criticize what they say about things, but those things have, shall we say, crossed a line in many cases where people have, you know, lost their jobs, or they have faced threats. And frankly, Stacy Patton is one of those who has been getting weeks of abuse, primarily by a bunch of white guys filling her email inbox with racial slurs and things like that. And Howard University has offered her, you know, extra security as well, but she's not really having any of it. She's you know, basically punching back. And one of her posts caught my eye over the weekend about the looming cuts to SNAP benefits. And so I just wanted to read part of that from, again, from Stacy Patton in Howard University, where she writes the following. I'm sick of seeing comments saying that people on SNAP should, quote, just get a job. The reports I see show that over half of working age, non-disabled adults on SNAP were working in a given month, and about 74% worked in the year before or after that month. And a good number of them are college students juggling classes and rent and part-time jobs while trying to keep food on the table. This country doesn't have a laziness problem. It has a wage problem, a greed problem, a you shouldn't have to starve to prove your worth problem. People who make the get a job comment are insecure. They need to believe poverty is a moral failure, because the alternative is that they'd have to reckon with the fact that this particular system of the economy is rigged and that their comfort is built on exploitation. That terrifies them, so they invent a hierarchy where they're the hardworking and everyone else is lazy, even if the data proves them wrong. They're not really defending the work ethic. They're defending a fantasy where their own mediocrity still feels well-earned. And many of these hateful folks crying, get a job, are themselves often just one layoff, one illness, one bad month away from the same line at the social services office. And I've seen plenty of that myself as well. We will be talking to somebody who started their own small business after a journey from Mexico to Wisconsin in our next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Okay, all signed up. Easy. Now let's run payroll. What the? Hey, girl. I'm you with more gusto. Nice. Who's that? New social media manager, hired and onboarded with gusto. And spoiler, we're kind of famous now. Wait, we're famous? Oh, well, I'm famous. Payroll, benefits, and HR. Designed and built for small businesses. Choose a future with gusto.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It is 7:52 right now on a Monday morning. 855-75-CIVIC is the number, 855-752-4842. You can also call us from the Civic Media app. You can text us on the Civic Media app. You can leave us a voice note on the Civic Media app where you can just say to us whatever's on your mind. If it's clean, we might put it on the radio. But so many ways to get in touch with the program and maybe, just maybe, give your take on something like, you know, the Packers beating the Steelers last night, even if it's to rub in that the host managed to go to bed earlier, just as I put Parker on camera, of course, here on social media. Big yawn that he's letting out.
That was a real yawn. That was not for the bit. That was a real yawn.
It was a very real yawn. It was great timing. It's like the way the waiter comes up just when you got a mouthful of food and goes, "How's everything?" And so there was the big yawn from somebody that stayed up. But again, it looked good. And, you know, in terms of a of a recap. Again, there's many moments you can point to with Aaron Rodgers, you know, taking him on for the first time, you know, on the opposing team. I am just happy to see that Christian Watson is back and did not right away, you know, blow a tire and, you know, have his leg fall off or anything like that. I thought that was a win. I think that they're going to tight end Tucker Kraft more, which I thought was going to be a real key to this. I was pretty surprised how very little yardage Josh Jacobs gained. I think, what was it, only like 33 yards total, but one of them included a 3-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, that was, that was nice. But
no, he was fine. He was, I don't know if he just, his vision wasn't quite there last night or what, but it felt like when Emmanuel Wilson was getting the ball, he was just flying through the line. There just might have been better blocks for him. I'm not 100% sure. But, yeah, Josh Jacobs kind of struggled a little bit, which I think can happen at this point in the year when you're a running back. Like, those guys get banged up. Tucker Kraft especially, I think. Tight ends especially can get banged up.
I'd like to know more about Jacobs' health, because he's the one who, remember, a week ago or so was particularly under the weather and yet played out of his mind and talked about how, you know, his best game prior to that was a time when he was really sick. Yeah. So is the problem that he's healthy now, or has he finally, you know, has gravity worked? And it's like, no, when you're sick, you actually don't play at your best. However it was, again, we had plenty of other weapons this time around, not the least of which is Jordan Love, who, you know, you would not have been surprised if he'd have gotten a little case of the yips or something, you know, taking on Aaron Rodgers directly for the first time. But no, the guy had a monster game, 29 of 35, 20 straight completed passes in a row at one point, which encourages me, because, I mean, I'm not going to lie, there've been a few times during the season where I've seen Love, you know, just throw enough times off target.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to wonder, you know, is this going to click? Clearly the answer is yes. Things are clicking with him and the receivers.
Yes. Every now and then he'll do something that kind of scares you a little bit. He's cemented himself, I think, as a top probably 7 quarterback in the league. If not higher, frankly, he's very good. And his floor does not seem to be very low. His like autopilot mode of just like not doing anything special is pretty fine, and that's kind of what you want in a quarterback. Well,
that's part of why I felt good turning the TV off at halftime, because the first half was just really boring, and just like the 2 or 3 games prior to that. And I thought, well, that's our theme this year, is we might grind out a win, but it's not going to be particularly sexy. Well, as it turns out,
this one got a little sexy.
Whole bunch of touchdowns in the second half that I missed that would have made it very exciting to watch, but that's okay. You know, again, 454 yards total offense. They just waited, you know, till some of us, you know, cashed out to say, okay, let's pour it on. And in part because they realized that their kicker there, Mr. McManus, didn't quite have it on those first 2 field goal attempts. Again, stressing attempts, not completions.
I only blame him for one. The first one, I don't care. He probably wasn't going to be able to kick that far anyway, coming off an injury. But yeah, the second one was bad,
I guess. But I mean, the Steelers kicker had just drilled one from 56. And so, you know, the next series, he's trying to kick one from 57.
Yeah.
And of course, it falls just short. And you're like, oh, just that one more yard, which, like you said, is not on him. The offense should have advanced the ball a little bit more. Yeah. But that is the assignment. And we just had a substitute kicker who drilled one from, what was the record? 61? That he hit it from?
I thought it was 63. It might have been 61.
Could have been 63. So we know it can be done. It just didn't get done for Mr. McManus as he continues to recover. Now, the Packers are going to do something next weekend that is quite unusual. It used to be a regular feature of Packer games, but this coming Sunday will be something you don't normally see.
What's that?
The game is on Sunday at noon.
What?
I know. It's like we're mortals, you know? No prime time game, no national game at 3:25, not Sunday night, not Thursday night, just a plain old noon Sunday football game.
That makes
me happy.
I hope
people remember what to do when it just happens when normal football games happen. And that one I will watch and I will stay up for, I think. So
unless you have to go out to lunch or dinner early.
I was going to say there could be that. That is always a problem with having family that includes, you know, another state. I mean, a couple times this season already, my family's wanted to do something. I was in the Twin Cities this past weekend and they're like, oh, you want to hang around for this? Like, no, got to get back. We have a football team that wins. You know, you got to understand that. So. And meanwhile, they are like bent over in their Vikings jerseys, you know, just hunched over. And somebody came up with a term for that when they're hunched over after being defeated yet again.
Oh, yeah.
Skull, because they're always chanting skull. So they call scoliosis is that look for Vikings fans. Wow. I liked it. It was a funny cartoon. We will be talking a lot more in the 8 o'clock hour, starting with our Madison friends, John and Gordy in the big Madison studio. Not just little A2 where Parker is. We're going to A1 right after the news on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump is now in Japan, where he will meet the new prime minister for the first time. She's the country's first woman prime minister. Plans are for the two leaders to discuss trade. Later this week, trade talks with China will be held as President Trump's tour of Asian countries continues. Hurricane Melissa has grown to a powerful Category 5 storm as it approaches Jamaica. ABC's Aika Jachi is in Kingston and has been talking to tourists.
How am I going to get home?
With all major airports now closed on the island, many tourists suddenly finding themselves stuck, caught in the path.
They are blocked out flights all week.
We spoke with Donnelly Gordon, an American visiting from Atlanta, who has been desperate to get off the island since Friday.
Officials say as much as 40 inches of rain could fall in Jamaica. Government shutdown continues. Now the Agriculture Department is warning that the nation's supplemental food program will not be funded past this weekend. This is ABC News. Start your